Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Hey, good morning. This is Lynn Kerrigan. I'm your host today of the Brown Briefly, and that was our founder, Brian Brown. Thank you, Brian. We miss you every day. We're going to be joined in the studio today, and I'll come back around to introductions, by a special guest, Ina Opplinger, who is a rheumatologist, retired from Group Health, who was the co-director of the Vachon Medical Reserve Corps over these last couple of years. And we thought, since we have a raging Delta variant these days, that we would revisit some of the questions and issues around COVID. But so far, who is here in the studio is our famous sound engineer and disaster pilot, Truman O'Brien. Good morning, Truman.
Good morning. Good morning.
And Ina. So we're hoping that Bruce Holman is able to link in.
There's Bruce. He just he's just signing in right now.
All right, good. And we don't have, I'll come back to Bruce, we don't have today either Gail Kellner or Carol or Kevin Jones. So Bruce, let me welcome you and say hello. And how was your week? Anything up from your standpoint there down in Ellisport?
I think, is that me?
There
you are. Yeah.
Oh yeah, lots of good stuff happened in Ellisport. Crabbing season is still on, so we found a great hidey hole where it's full of Dungeness crab.
Ooh, but right. You won't tell us, right?
No, it's a secret. But what's concerning is, you know, we've pulled probably over the last 5 weeks, 6 weeks, we've pulled maybe 35, 40 Dungeness crab. Only two have been females.
Oh, wow.
So big males, but hardly any females. And so that's a little worrisome. It's hard to have a population without females.
To Afghanistan.
Yeah, right. So that's been one of the things going on in Ellisport.
Interesting.
But also, if I have a minute, let me do a pitch for this weekend. Is the last weekend that the Whale People exhibit will be at the museum. So Friday night and Saturday night from 8 to 10, you'll be able to see the Whale People installation. And on Saturday night from 6 to 10, we'll have actually the Vachon Union of Geologists. They are talking about the new exhibit, the new geology exhibit. And the Garden of the Ancients, the collection of rocks found on Vachon, going back to almost 3 billion-year-old wow. mantle rocks that were brought down by the glacier. So make it to the History Museum, the Heritage Museum this weekend if you have a chance.
God, that sounds fascinating.
You know, I want to really emphasize that, too. I went Friday night, Bruce, to go see the film that is portrayed there from the Lummies and the other tribal elder contingent that spoke about what was going on with the seas there, the toxicity, as well as the orcas and the totem whale there that you can go in and put your hands on to give it energy and to get energy from it. And I got to speak with Jason Jones for a long time, who was there guiding sort of people into the film, and really a delightful person to speak about the journey that he went on with the totem pole that we had there at your opening, and took it to DC. And he just said that was an incredibly transforming experience. I just can't say enough about that exhibit. So thank you.
Right. Well, he, Jason Jones, and his wife, Becca Ekinopoulos, have recently moved to Vashon about 2 years ago now, just at the beginning of COVID. So they haven't been out in the community as much as I hope they will be eventually. Yeah. But they have an organization they call the Natural History Museum, and they're responsible.
Not to be confused with Vashon History Museum.
Oh, right. Yeah, Natural History Museum. They have a website you can visit, but they were responsible for putting that installation together, working with the Lummi tribe. They've also done some installations with the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., with the New York Museum of Natural History. So very talented people to put that together, and very lucky for us and Vashon to have it here for a month, a little more than a month, and also to have the Red Road Pole come through as it began its journey back to Washington, D.C. So we've been very blessed to have them involved and to have the Lummi Nation and the Puyallup tribe involved with us.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Thank you. And Truman, what's been up with you this last week?
I had my 51st wedding anniversary. It was in the last week or so. And my wife and I flew our plane down to Ashland, Oregon, and spent the weekend. Hit one of our favorite wineries down there and one of our favorite restaurants, sitting outside, you know, all masked up and all of that. But had a wonderful time. It was a great, great flight. And the most exciting part for me is that on our little airplane that we have, we've been chasing a little oil leak in the front of the airplane. Ooh. It's just been driving us nuts. And we finally found it, and we fixed it, and we got down there and back, and it was completely dry. I was thrilled.
Yay. Well, I don't know why you would be kind of concerned about anything going wrong with one of your airplanes.
Yeah, no kidding. No, it was just a little oil leak. It was not a big deal. Yeah, but nagging. Yeah, nagging, right. Well, anyway, that's all done.
Before we get into our topics, Ina, welcome. And kind of what's been up with your week? What have you been out and about seeing and doing on Vashon?
Well, I had a birthday this week, 66.
Ina!
I've been putting in some time down at the pharmacy. We're back testing again.
With the MRC's help.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we'll come back and swing around to that. So I'm glad you had a little bit of personal time, and I will stand you a round of gin and tonics this week to celebrate your birthday.
Yeah, I'll hold you to that.
I have to say to our listeners that Ina and I have been friends through her partner, Nan, and our connections at Harborview. So friends for 30 years or more. It's a delight to have her here. And I just want to mention, you know, a couple other things from my week. And one of them is that I was one of the ones hacked by T-Mobile's invaders. I don't know if any of the rest of you were. Have you gotten notified? Oh, great. It's just me.
No,
me
I'm not
and the
T-Mobile.
Russians.
I'm not a T-Mobile guy, so.
God. Well, so that's a little bit worrisome. But I want to say that the other kind of incredible experience I had this year is I did take myself to the theater last week and went to see Jennifer Hudson in that incredible biopic of Aretha Franklin. And I will tell you something, that is the most powerful performance and movie I've seen in a long time.
Really?
I was astounded by the story. I hadn't known much of her story of her younger years, which I won't ruin for any of you. But I will say that I was just undone by the context, you know, all of that information about her partnership with Martin Luther King and, you know, the civil rights era that she grew up alongside of and sang for, and Jennifer Hudson's portrayal of her was incandescent.
Really?
And the little
good
girl that played her as a child was mind-blowing. I just can't say it enough. And I guess that's going to be playing for through this week for anybody who feels like they can take themselves indoors. There were only about 8 people in the theater.
Oh, boy.
Which so it made me feel safe.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I, you know, felt really bad for the theater taking a risk on opening up and nobody kind of coming. So it's a modern dilemma we have now. Shocking. Well, I just sort of want to move on toward our guest speaker, if that's all right with everybody. Ina, I'd like for you to introduce yourself a little bit better than I did and kind of just talk a little bit about your start with the MRC and your role there and kind of the great service you provided for Vashon by kind of getting those testing and vaccine sites going along with your colleagues, Jim Bristow and John Osborne. So welcome and
thank you.
Expand
Lynn.
On your resume, if you would.
Thank you. Well, I'm a former Kansan, grew up in Western Kansas and came out here for my rheumatology fellowship and then did rheumatology practice at Group Health until about 5 years ago when I retired and was looking around for something to do with myself and met John Osborne, who was starting up the MRC again, having had a little hiatus in which it was inactive. And so I was working with the MRC, and we were getting together, a small group of people, talking about earthquakes for a few weeks and when an actual crisis hit. And I just want to say right now that Vashon needs to be extremely proud of the way they responded to this crisis. And I think it's probably how they'll respond to the next crisis as well. I mean, people in New York got outside and banged pans and pots at 5 o'clock to thank healthcare workers. People on Vashon, people on Vashon said, "Oh, we need masks." Oh, well, so a group of people who know how to sew got together, formed a mask-producing group, disseminated them to the community. We decided, gee, we need a way to test people for COVID. And Dr. Bristow organized and led a group of folks who volunteered. In order to do that, they needed a medical record. It needed to be HIPAA compliant. It needed to be private, but it needed to be accessible by a couple dozen healthcare providers. Sure. John Weinschul said, "I can do that." And he did. We needed a site that would provide us with heat, a freezer, Wi-Fi, electricity, telephone. And by the way, it needed to be completely free of cost, and it needed to be indefinite.
Indefinite and free of cost. Yeah. There's a bottom line for you for an agency or organization.
Amazing.
How in the world did you handle that?
Well, Mukai stepped up, and later the O-Space stepped up and said, "Sure, we can provide that. No problem." No problem. They just handed over the keys.
Amazing.
We needed somebody to do case investigations and to counsel people who test positive. We have an infectious disease doctor who just volunteered his time. Dr. Miller has
Zach Miller,
spent,
yeah.
At least an hour talking on the phone with at least 100 people who've tested positive, as well as another 100 of their contacts, for no charge and no complaint. So
amazing.
What an
Thank
amazing.
Thank you, Dr. Miller and Bristow and Osborne and you. And you were able to work together enough to operate on those multiple fronts. That was what astounded me.
Well, most of all, though, it's the community. Yeah. Dr. Miller tells me that every single person he talks to on the island, when they're told that they have a positive test and they need to isolate themselves completely for 10 days, or they've been exposed to someone and they need to quarantine completely for 14 days, the answer is, yeah, how can I do that? I want to do the safest thing. Our business community, we've had some little episodes of positive cases at Casa Bonita, Langland, Ruby Brink, Fair Isle. Each time, the business owners didn't say, "Oh my gosh, I can't afford to close. I can't." No, they said, "What can I do? What's the safest thing to do?" Which, whoa, you know, my niece. Am I going on too far?
No, go ahead.
My niece is an ear, nose, and throat specialist in Western Kansas. And her job is to call people who test positive and advise them about quarantine. The universal response is, no, I hate you. I don't trust this. Get off my phone. Which it's been really heartbreaking for her. It's such a different experience than this community.
Yeah. So.
I wanted to throw out one thing, too, and that is the emergency response, the EOC.
Yes.
And the Vashon Be Prepared and all of those folks stepping up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing the amount. I worked on the vaccination site, and I was astounded, first of all, by the number of volunteers and by the attitude of the volunteers. They were just, you know, oh, what can I do? I'm here to help, whatever it takes. To make it work. And then the people coming through to get their vaccinations.
Yes.
They were happy. They were excited. They were relieved. They were, you know, and they were so complimentary to everyone.
Yeah.
You know, thank you. Thank you so much for doing this work. I mean, it just blew me away.
It is amazing.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. We said, oh, we need 40 to 60 volunteers to come and be exposed to people in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
No problem. People stood up.
Bruce, did I see you waving your fingers there?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I know it was part of a talk that the Heritage Museum did in April, and it's recorded. It's on the museum website, in which we had Ina and Clayton Olney and Jim Bristow, Jenna Risdale from the community care team. We had that whole sort of MRC community care group do a talk about what they did. And it's incredible. And so if you want to see these people live and see who they are, so when you can thank them, give them a hug when hugs are
you
can do hugs again, because that group did an incredible job. And Ina, you're at the heart of it. So we really appreciate all you guys did. But if you haven't met those folks, and if you want to see them talking about what they did, go to the Heritage Museum website, look for the museum talks. And the April talk was on the Medical Reserve Corps and the response to COVID.
Oh, great.
It's very impressive.
Great resource and a great use of a history museum to document these kind of current events that become historical. So thank y'all for putting that on. And I guess the other thing I would comment on in this general context of kind of what we're going to be talking about, you know, regarding kind of the recent surges and you know, the multiplicity of information and kind of changes we have to go through, is that I think the other thing that the MRC and the Vashon Be Prepared folks had to deal with was this turning on a dime, because all of this training that has happened through the Vashon Be Prepared has really been about earthquakes and kind of other threats that were more local and isolated, whereas here is this pandemic that's raging across the world, and nobody had trained for in any way, locally anyway. And so I was just kind of astounded at the way, you know, we tried to get the information out through the situation reports that came out all the time.
And,
now, Truman.
Yeah, well, two things, but the situation reports, thank you to Voice of Vashon for providing that service. I mean, that was a wonderful service that Voice of Vashon was able to do. And the other thing is that we made the New York Times. I mean, you know, the New York Times, the magazine section, about our process and procedure out here. I mean, we set the standard here on Vashon Island, this little tiny island, with the testing and the response that folks had. It blows me away.
Yeah.
And those models are still going out, aren't they, Ina,
yes,
to other communities?
Yeah. And don't forget, this community stepped up in a way that led the country and outpaced King County. We were vaccinated at a rapid rate. People showed up and did what they needed to do. The other thing is our case rate is lower than anywhere else in the county. We're a tenth of the case rate of King County, although we are having cases. Delta's here, still going on about a case a day, I'm told.
Is that high? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, most of those are minimally symptomatic.
Because we're all vaccinated.
Right, you know? Right. So, but we achieve that because people agreed to wear masks. They agreed to follow the rules. If they tested positive, they isolated and quarantined themselves. Businesses pitched in. It was a whole community effort, a whole community effort.
I have to one more thing to throw out here. Yeah. Just for you folks listening, we are all masked in the studio this morning. Molly and I do not mask up because we're family. I mean, we're together all the time. So we don't wear a mask, but anytime anyone that's outside our core group comes in, we all mask up and we clean everything. I mean, this place, you could do surgery in here. I'm telling you, we disinfect everything. Yeah. So I just wanted to throw that out there. The folks know that we are, in fact, doing that today.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, it's a concerning time for people right now. So I appreciate this sort of context of resilience and the Vashon experience, which has been so positive and persistent, you know, in meeting this challenge with a lot of guts. You know, let's just call it what it is. But, you know, I was reading and listening to PBS NewsHour on Saturday that nationally there's like 65,000 new cases a day. And of the national average, 61% of the population is vaccinated. So we still have a long way to go in this country about vaccinations. And, you know, there's a lot of questions about the Delta variants. And, you know, I want to come back when you were starting to talk a little bit about our local case rates and hospitalizations. Can you kind of compare us just a little bit to some of that other data in King County and in Washington?
Well, again, our case rates are lower than King County, but they're steady. And one problem now, of course, people can test at home. And I want to put in a little pitch for going out and buying yourself a home testing kit. The Binax Now, B-I-N-A-X Now testing kit by Abbott Laboratories is available at Walgreens and Walmart. You have to check ahead because they sell out about the day they come in, according to my Walgreen friend. But they're getting a steady supply. And so they're available from time to time. At different stores. If you go and buy one of those tests, then if you have mild symptoms, you just get a sniffles, you can go in your bathroom and test. They cost about $10 a test. You buy two of them for $23. They're a pretty good test for people who have symptoms. They are not a good test for people who don't have symptoms. But several of the cases that I mentioned that we're seeing, the one a day, have been people who tested at home with their Binax and then contacted us. And I also want to say, please do that. If you test at home and you're positive, if you contact us, you get the wonderful bonus prize of talking to a certified ID expert. And you get helpful advice and support for what needs to be done.
So how do they do that, Ina? What contact number or whatever, what should people use to notify you if they do that?
Vashon Be Prepared. And I'm sorry, but I don't have the number.
We can look it up while we're talking. Is that
844?
Yeah, I should know it too because I stared at that number all the time I was working in the testing sites.
But
so that's a great new element we have in our armamentarium, if you will. So we're able to test on our own now.
Yeah,
I use the Everlywell test that is at Vashon Pharmacy now, but I didn't notify anybody because it was negative, so we don't have to do anything if we're testing and nothing shows up, right? Yeah.
As far as testing on Vashon, the MRC is now providing the Everlywell and Binax Now tests from a trailer outside the pharmacy. It was kind of overwhelming the pharmacy's staff, and so we've taken that on. And what you need to do is, if you have symptoms or if you've been exposed to someone who tests positive, is to call the Vashon Be Prepared number that we'll give you in a moment.
Truman's looking it up as we speak, so just continue here.
and talk to one of our healthcare professionals who will advise you the best time to test. It's important to get tested at the right time and the right test to get.
You mean the number of days after you start getting symptoms or get exposed?
Yeah, after your exposure. You're likely to have a negative test in the first 2 or 3 days. So we usually ask folks to wait after exposure until they're more likely to be positive, but to isolate themselves. And we want people who have symptoms, though, to test immediately.
Is this the number 844-469-4554?
Yes.
That's the one?
Say that again, Truman, if you would, slow.
Yes, it's 844-469-4554.
Thank you. And that's a number to call if you want to let us know you're testing positive and kind of what to do from there.
Or if you have symptoms and you think you might need a test.
Okay.
So I have a quick question. I know if I heard you right, you said Vashon's averaging about one new case a day. Is that since the middle of August, the beginning of August?
Or yeah.
Did I miss here?
Yeah, we had no cases for a period of time. Right. And then really early August, late July, we started to have this Delta-related surge.
Right.
With this test, can you tell which it is, which variant?
No,
no.
We can't tell that.
All right, thanks.
But the Delta virus is by far the majority of cases in King County where they're monitoring that. Okay. The Everlywell test is a PCR test. And the PCR test is by far the better test if you have no symptoms and you've just been exposed.
Polyamorous chain reaction.
Yeah.
I think I mispronounced that.
Polymerase chain reaction.
Polymerase chain reaction.
Yeah. Pretty good. Polyamorous.
Wow. Well,
so, Bruce, you had something else you were going to say?
Oh, I was going to ask the same question. Do we know how much Delta is on Vashon? Delta variant is on Vashon, and I'm assuming most of it is. But again, how do you find out whether you have the Delta variant or not? Does King County do that test for you, or how does that work? I know
that requires further testing beyond the test kits that we have here.
Right.
We just watch the King County numbers.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Do we need to know, or is it more a matter of we know that Delta is extremely transmissible and that we all need to be masking again, especially indoors in poorly ventilated places or, you know, in crowded outdoor areas even?
Yeah, given the fact that we're seeing cases on a regular basis on the island, it doesn't change whether it's Delta or the old original variant, what we need to do about it.
Right. One thing that I was thinking about as you were talking is that we didn't really specifically call out Tyler Young from the Vashon Pharmacy, who did a heroic, epic job to kind of get that testing done and transitioned into the pharmacy itself. And now, I think you said when you just sat down that now the MRC is back there because the case rates and the testing needs are so much higher. Can you speak a little bit more about that transition?
Yeah, and before I forget, no discussion of disaster preparedness on Vashon would be complete without a shout out to Rick Wallace.
Oh, of course.
It just works without Tyre.
Well, and his own sister has been impacted now, and you know our hearts go out to you, Rick, and thank you so much for your leadership.
Yeah. So we're testing folks. We're getting a lot of calls to inquire about testing. I think there were 60 yesterday morning calls to our line.
Wow.
And so that's okay. We're going to man those phones and try to get things taken care of. We handed out, I think, 30 testing kits yesterday, and it's been running about 20 to 30 testing kits a day.
Wow.
Going out. I don't know. They're also testing using the Binex Now at CMAR.
Right.
And we don't know how many they're sending out every day as well.
But now you said that we can purchase these at Walgreens. Can we purchase them from the MRC?
No. And actually, we're having trouble getting enough of them.
Okay.
That's we're having to
wondering.
Buy them. Yeah.
I was wondering that. Okay.
Well, I think so many things are in process right now. You know, all we can do is talk about kind of where we are now and where are the emerging needs. And, you know, we just have to be prepared. Information changes every day, and we have to roll with it. So thanks for kind of even telling us kind of what's going on and, you know, where we can find things. But I'm thinking about the statistics of what you said. You know, you're sending out 30 kits a day and hearing back from maybe one a day that is testing positive, right?
Yeah.
So is that any kind of a change, or is that kind of typical for, you know, where we've been in the past?
Well, it's less than we saw back when we were testing at the O space and all, but it's certainly more than we saw in April and May.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's a fourth surge of COVID.
So now I have a new topic associated to COVID. On Facebook and in my communications, I have friends who are big time anti-vaxxers, who are big time pandemic deniers. And I keep reading how, oh, we have to be compassionate and we have to work with these folks and yada, yada, yada. And I am fed up. And I'm talking to other folks who are really, really fed up with this and are really getting angry and saying, hey, you guys are contributing to this. Do you have any advice to me or to us folks that we can use to talk to these people? I mean, it's like talking to the wall, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, Lynn and I talked before about vaccine mandates, and that's a tough question. At what point do we need to mandate vaccines? And there's precedent. George Washington mandated variolation for the Revolutionary War troops, and that was a risky thing to do. People died of variolation. That's just putting smallpox pus into a hole in your arm. And so this is a whole lot safer and better. And what about mandates? I mean, we have some mandates, public health mandates, that everybody's familiar with. You have to wear a helmet when you ride a motorcycle. And
or a seatbelt when you drive your car.
And have vaccinations before school, mostly, and, you know, TB and polio. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole lot of precedent for mandating vaccinations. And right now what's happening is Inslee's new mask order just went into effect yesterday. I'm
a former employee of Alaska Airlines, and they instituted, while I was there, a no tobacco rule. You could not be a smoker and work for that company.
Wow.
And if you were a smoker, they would not hire you. And so, you know, there's a precedent right there for nicotine, for crying out loud.
A lot of businesses are stepping up with mandates.
Sure.
And Ina, can I ask, you know, this is kind of totally right on the money here for the question about mandates. I was reading in today's Seattle Times about the official FDA, you know, Food and Drug Administration approval of the Pfizer vaccine. And I've been wondering what the implications of that were. And it's all over today's paper that it will allow corporations, organizations, sites to mandate mask and to say you can't come in if you're vaccinated. I'm sorry, the mask is another thing. You can't come in. You can't be here unless you're vaccinated. So I guess that was an attempt to kind of make sure we were mandating safe vaccines. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, I'm hopeful it will reassure people who felt the emergency use authorization wasn't adequate, you know, government oversight of the vaccine production program. More than 150 million people are vaccinated across the U.S. And so we've got a pretty good idea about the safety and efficacy of this vaccine at this point.
Yeah,
so
no kidding.
It's not a surprise that it has been officially approved at this point. But I think for people who are extremely reluctant to having a full FDA approval may help them overcome their anxiety.
And know it's been tested again and run through the usual processes.
And
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
If I can break in on this. Vachon's very privileged. Vachon's very white. Vachon has an incredible number of experts on hand. You know, MRC is a great example of that. What do you see with Delta variant? My sense is it's sweeping through this community, even though we've done everything right. What do you see happening over the next couple months on Vachon?
Well, I expect that we're going to continue to see cases. We're going to continue to see positive tests and mild symptoms in our heavily vaccinated population. Those who aren't vaccinated, I fear, will almost certainly acquire this virus at some point. And I hope they do okay, but they're at great risk of winding up on a ventilator or dying.
We just had a death last
week. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this Delta variant spreads at least two times easier than the previous variant, almost as easily as chickenpox. And so I expect to see the spread. When the schools open, a bunch of unvaccinated kids, I expect that we will see a significant increase in cases. Fortunately, most of those kids will have mild symptoms, just like our vaccinated adults. Mm-hmm. And so if everybody were vaccinated, I think we would still have this problem, but it would look more like the flu than a deadly disease that fills our hospitals. Right now, with the low vaccination rates in Pierce County and relatively low in many parts of King County, our hospitals are already filling, and that means there's less care for people, for other people who need the ICUs or need the emergency rooms. And so it's a consideration for anybody to get vaccinated so you don't wind up taking up one of those beds.
So I know, given that most Islanders are vaccinated, you know, except the under 12 population, what should we do? How should we live our lives? What should we do anything different than we're doing right now?
Well, I agree with it's not that big an ask to wear masks indoors to try to decrease the transmission of this. There are still vulnerable people on our island. It may be that the effectiveness of the vaccine is waning. There's some evidence from Israel that the effectiveness is going to wane over the coming months and that we might need a booster. In fact, the FDA has already recommended a third dose in folks who are immunocompromised, and that might also be recommended for people in long-term care soon. So there's a lot we still need to do. We're still fighting this thing.
To piggyback on Bruce's question, I've just gotten a text from an alert listener, Nan Leiter, asking, could we talk about the travel risk and, you know, kind of what we expect to see happening right now? Apparently there's a situation in Hawaii. And I don't know, you know, all of what Nan is referring to, but you may be able to interpret, you know, what her question is better than I.
Okay, well, a disclaimer: Nan Leiter is my wife, and she would very much like to visit her mother in Kansas City.
Apparently, Governor of Hawaii said something recently, and I don't know what that was.
Yeah, we were hoping to visit Hawaii in the spring, but the governor of Hawaii has said please stay away at least through October. So we'll see how that it's an issue.
Do y'all have any sense of whether airplane travel is safe enough? Or, you know, would you advise an abundance of caution?
Well, Dr. Miller tells me that still many of the cases, or if not the majority of cases on Vashon, were acquired people who were off island for this or that gathering. And that makes sense because we're highly vaccinated, but we also travel a lot to places that aren't. And so in terms of air travel, the airplanes have excellent ventilation systems. And so the transmission on airplanes appears to be pretty low. But the problem is being in big crowds.
Yeah.
And so
waiting in lines.
Yeah, I would still spring for a KN95 mask and wear it and take my hand sanitizer and realize that it's a risk to travel still.
Yeah.
So my daughter just sent a note and asking why do children have milder symptoms? Is there any logical reason for that? Or
oh dear, I don't know.
Oh, okay. No, I just
healthier,
you know,
immune systems, maybe.
I would assume that It's
an interesting thing, and I know you know this. In the 1918 flu pandemic, mm-hmm. it hit sort of 18 to 35-year-olds much harder. The death rate was significantly higher. In fact, so high that it brought down the average age of Americans by almost 20 years for the next decade.
Wow.
So, you know, so what happens with these viruses, as I understand, and you know better than I, they're very particular. I mean, they hit different populations in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And this one tends to be more virulent among older people, whereas the 1918 pandemic was very virulent among that sort of 15 to 35 population.
Absolutely.
So sort of the roll of the dice.
Huh.
And yet I heard on NPR this morning that about 20% of the new cases somewhere, maybe nationally, are children. So it is spreading, you know, to children. And maybe you know more about that statistic than I do.
Well, our positive cases on Vashon are around 20% in folks under age 12. And we assume that's because that's the unvaccinated population.
True.
It does spread. If you're vaccinated and you acquire COVID infection, you are equally able to spread the disease, but you're less likely to acquire it if you're vaccinated.
So yeah, you can carry it, but not become infected yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Isn't that spooky that, you know, even if you're asymptomatic, you don't know that you have the disease and can spread it.
Yeah.
Hence, masks that are good and that don't allow your nose, and cheeks to be, you know, blowing out your aerosols. Kind of a tough thing.
A bunch of Bloody Marys running around.
Yeah. There you go.
That's
you
right.
Go. All right. I have one. I hope this is not going to be too long and complicated a question, but I had the very great good fortune to meet Dr. Bill Fagy when he was on the island. And as you know, he's the person involved in the smallpox, eradicating smallpox in the world. One of the things that he said was he's concerned about the herd immunity and the fact that it did not work with smallpox, that they had to go after it into small pockets, kill it where it was appearing, and then moving on to the next. Do you have any thoughts about that? I mean, it's a 70%, and is that a reasonable number? Or
With the Delta variant, which transmits at such a higher rate, the herd immunity number goes up too.
Right.
So probably something more in the 90% is what we need to target.
That's kind of what I was wondering. Yeah. So that gets us back
around the world.
Yeah, I know, around the world, exactly. And so that gets me back to my anti-vaxxers, you know. What in the world can we do? I mean, I guess we can just keep giving them facts and facts. But one of my people said, well, do your own research. And my question to her was, what was your source for your research? You know, I'm looking at the CDC and WHO. What are you looking at? You know, so how do we put a cork on some of this stuff? Is there an answer?
It's hard. There was a time when Walter Cronkite could tell us to do something.
There you go. There you go.
Not so anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we need to be armed with good information, and thanks for bringing that up, Truman, because I'll mention that some good sources for your information about these things are, yes, the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta and the Washington Department of Health, which has a big dashboard that you can look through all kinds of information about different statistics broken down by different populations. And the King County Department of Health as well, which has a really good COVID set of data and statistics. And if they can't be persuaded by data, they will be persuaded by their own illnesses and deaths around them, I'm afraid.
We are totally out of time. Ina, thank you very, very much for coming in. This has been fascinating.
Thank you.
Please, please come back and chat with us again. There's so much more that we want to ask you and use your knowledge. So